The there we go. It's 6:31 on August 7th, excuse me. So I'll call the Greater Madison MPO Policy Board meeting to order. And we've established that we have a quorum, Alex.
Yes, we do. We certainly do,
Okay,
which is
thank
great.
you. Do we have, we don't have any new members, I don't believe. I recognize all these names. Yep. So we'll move on to item two, approval of the June 5th meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
This is Esser. I'll make that motion.
Okay, moved by Esser. Alder Miyazi, are you seconding?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? Any changes? Alder Duncan?
I'll be abstaining from the vote because I was not here for the June meeting.
Okay. And Alder Field?
Same for me. I'll be abstaining.
Okay, thank you. Any other abstentions? Moving on with the vote, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
I'll assume that that was in favor and no one was opposed. And we have a couple abstentions, and that motion passes. Item three is communications. WISDOT approval of 2024 Resolution 8 amendment to the TIP. And then we have the WISDOT FHWA approval of the 2024 work program amendment. Alex, did you want to comment on any of these?
No, they're pretty self-explanatory. There's a copy of them in your packet. It's just their approval of things that you guys, that we all did.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions for Alex? If not, moving on to item four, public comment for items not on the MPO agenda. And I will recognize, I heard a hand go up. No, I don't see him.
Charles, maybe?
There he is. Okay. Yeah. Yes, Charles. Go ahead.
Yes. Last night on the Common Council meeting, we had a very good discussion about the budget. So I'd like to see if we could place on a future agenda discussion about creating a regional transit authority for Madison area, finance, structure, and a need for state authorization.
Okay, so a request for a future agenda item to create an RTA. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment tonight for items not on the agenda? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item five, introduction to the Capital Area Regional Planning Commission. And we are joined today by the new executive director, Jason Valerius, who I see on my screen. So he's present. And Jason, welcome to our group. And I've known you for a number of years, so I won't hold that against you.
Thank you, Mark.
If you'd like to introduce yourself and your background, and feel free, the floor is yours.
All right, sounds good. Thank you for the opportunity. The connections and coordination between our two organizations are longstanding, and lots of ways that we get to work together being co-located. But this is my first time talking to you guys. So I am new with CARPC as executive director since January 1st. I was part-time for a couple months and full-time as of March 1st. I come to this role having been in the Madison area, working as a consulting planner since early 2005. I was with MSA Professional Services. Know a few of you from my years in that capacity, through that role, through service to the Wisconsin chapter of the American Planning Association. And was involved in a wide variety of things that have certainly come to be useful in my current role. I helped write comprehensive plans, outdoor recreation plans, alternative transportation planning, development planning, working with developers in a role to work on entitlements and urban design. So a variety of types of work that are relevant to what I'm doing now. I presume a baseline level of familiarity with CARPC. So I'll be brief about what CARPC is and does, other than to repeat what I've been repeating to a lot of people over the past few months as I'm telling both my story and the CARPC story, which is to talk about the two buckets that we have that we operate in and around. One is about land use planning and our statutory obligation to have a plan for the physical development of the region and to advise communities around issues related to the physical development of communities. And then the other bucket is our water quality role, which is we are have an important role in managing the Dane County Water Quality Plan. It's actually under contract with the DNR. They are actually the kind of ultimate owners and deciders on changes to that plan, but they rely on us as the local entity to do most of the lifting and communications around management of that plan. If I could, for just a couple minutes, I'll offer a few updates on things we're working on right now, and then invite any questions you may have about me or about our current activities. We've got a pretty interesting amendment to that water quality plan ongoing right now. Madison Metropolitan Sewerage District wants to stop sending effluent over to the Badger Mill Creek in the city of Verona related to phosphorus regulations. And we're trying to understand and decide on whether or not that should happen based on how it affects that creek. We've got several ongoing projects related to water quality monitoring and one in the Black Earth Creek watershed. In collaboration with the USGS, the United States Geological Survey, and some ongoing work in the Starkweather Creek focused on chlorides, figuring out how salt is affecting that creek. We continue to do a lot around tree canopy and talking about the value of trees in our communities and helping to promote their protection and their planting. And we released recently a digital tool called Growing Shade, which helps to map the percentage of tree canopy cover in our communities and also relate that to socioeconomic data to show where we have both low tree cover and lower incomes and help to prioritize where tree planting occurs. We've got a variety of community planning projects underway or recently completed. We're working with the towns of Bristol and Rutland on comprehensive plans. We did a comprehensive outdoor recreation plan for the village of Sherwood Hills, completed earlier this year. We're working with the city and town of Sun Prairie on a hopeful boundary agreement between those two communities. And last thing I would note is that we are trying to wrap up a strategic planning process, kind of an internal effort to guide how we operate and behave as an organization, both commission and staff, to best implement those two plans that we're responsible for, the water quality plan and the regional development framework. So quick hits there, things we're working on. Happy to answer any questions you might have for me.
It's a wonderful overview. Thank you. Any questions for our esteemed new director of CARPC? I guess you were very thorough and concise at the same time. So there you go. Yep. Alder Harrington.
Thank you so very much. I wanted to add my appreciation to recalling him new, but he has a depth of experience in the area, as was reflected in his report. But I have been absent because of some medical reasons, and he took the time to come to my home to explain the vision of CARPC, where CARPC and how it integrates in terms of the regional planning. And for me, that was very significant because he puts forth his dedication and commitment to working collaboratively with this board. And I wanted the members of the commissioners to know that we have a jewel and we will be working very diligently together so that we can have that regional plan that the vision reflects. And so I just wanted to share that with the commissioners.
Thank you, Barbara. Jason, thank you for going the extra step.
Yeah, Barbara and I talked about, you know, she is the commissioner on both of our, right. Both the MPO and CARPC, and has a unique opportunity and role to kind of cross-pollinate and represent the interests and issues of each as she's serving in those two roles.
Excellent. Seeing no other hands raised, hearing no other voices, we'll move on to item number six. And Jason, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I'll hang out and listen for a bit if you don't mind.
Not at all. We usually are overwhelmed with attendance from non-commissioners, so this is nice to have you join them, the group. Item six is approval of change of scope and funding for Sun Prairie's Bird Street, which is Highway 19 to Highway 151, SDBG urban project.
Yes, so I can take this one for you all. And I would first like to note that we did receive a registrant on this agenda item. We registered in opposition to this item. So I wanted to note that first.
Yeah, thank you. But the individual's not present. I saw the email earlier.
Yes, I'm looking. No, he is not. He is not present. But yes, it's the same individual. It's Nicholas Davies.
Yep.
But
did everybody receive that message then? Okay.
I did forward it to the board. Yeah. So just to sort of summarize the important things, especially in light of his concerns, this project changed in scope only in not in what they're doing, but sort of the approach to it. So rather than a full reconstruction, it's going to a pavement replacement. And there's a number of reasons for that, namely disruption that it would cause, and then the ultimate decision to go with that design. The shared use path and the cycle track, so those items will still be constructed with this project. So in that way, the scope is not being reduced. It's just a matter of how they're going about it. So as a result of that change, the cost of the project is lower. And so what we're recommending is, and what is allowed in our guidance for this program, is to increase the percentage of funding for the project from like 60% up to 80%. And even with that, there'll be a little bit of money left over that we can reassign to some other things. So let's see, what else could I say? Again, like I stated, that increase up to 80% is consistent with our guidelines set forth in our SDBGU process policy document. And the TCC has taken this item up, heard about it, and they agree with sort of our approach to it, and they recommended that as well. So the TCC as well as staff is recommending approval of this change of scope and funding for the Bird Street project.
Okay, thank you. So it's not we don't have a resolution or anything in front of us in the packet. It's just approving the change of scope.
Right.
Correct. Okay. Okay, any questions? Doug?
Yeah, just to follow up on the email communication that we got, it sounded to me like he was asking for he wants an extension of the pathway that it wasn't in the original project, nor is it in this one, mm-hmm. right? Am I understanding what he was asking for correctly?
I think that is, I'm just looking at what he originally stated. That appears to be the case. David, was that your take on it? I see your presence as well. I think his main concern was thinking that cycle path was going to go away, but he's certainly hopeful that it would be longer. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. My understanding is that he was primarily concerned with the pad bike facilities on the bridge over Highway 151. He did have some other concerns. The way I took his email was that he didn't think that there would be any bike facilities provided, but it was a little bit difficult to fully grasp what exactly his issues were with the project, since those facilities will be included.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. And good opportunity to clarify. Anybody else with or Highway Commissioner Clement.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to hear that the bike facilities will be part of the project, but I just want to recommend that it'll be nice to follow up with him and let him know so that we close the loop. Otherwise, yes, he might still be thinking differently.
Well, we communicated with him, and so did the city as well. So we notified city engineering, so they had an opportunity to communicate with him directly as well. So,
yeah, thank you.
Yes. And I believe there's a copy of that email exchange in the packet.
Yep, I see that here. Would somebody like to make a motion to recommend or to approve the change of scope and funding?
Andrew moves approval.
Okay.
Wood will second.
Motion by Andre, seconded by Wood. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? That motion passes. And thank you, David, for that update as well. Item 7 is approval of the revised draft surface transportation block grant urban program priority projects for 2025 through 2029 federal year, this fiscal year.
Okay, David is going to present that as well.
Okay.
Yes. And I should mention too that the Bird Street project change of scope and change of funding will be codified in the TIP amendment, which is item number 8.
Yep.
I want to begin by presenting a map of all of the TIP projects, or rather all of the SDBG urban projects that are part of the MPO program. In total, there are about 23 or 24 on this map. This includes both program projects that were recently completed, University Avenue project, projects that are under construction, which would include the Pleasant View Road, County Trunk Highway M, Exchange Street, and Autumn Ridge Path and Overpass projects. Then also projects that are programmed and haven't been constructed yet, which includes North Bird Street, North Thompson Road, St. Albert the Great Drive, Windsor Road, all of which are programmed in 2025. John Olin Drive, which is now programmed in 2025 through 2026. And then Mineral Point Road and Nichols Road, which has been moved from fiscal year 25 through 2029. Those are the program projects. And we also have new projects that were approved in October 2023. And those are all circled and also listed on the right hand side. There are two County Trunk Highway MM Rimrock Road projects, a north section and a south section, which are now in 2026. The Glacial Drumlin Path, Vinburn Road.
Sorry to interrupt. Are you intending to display the map? Or
oh, my goodness. I
know we have a little packet, but I don't see it. So
I do intend to do that. My mistake.
That's all right. I see I have the map up on another screen, but there you go. Thank you.
Okay. And so, yes, everything circled would be new projects that were approved last year. And I should mention before going any further that WISDOT recently issued their approval for all of these new projects in the years in which they're shown and in the amounts that you'll see in the next slide and also in your priority projects spreadsheet. So continuing on, Glacial Drumlin Trail, Vinburn Road, and Bailey Road are planned in 2027. The West City of Madison's West Town Path and John Nolan Drive Phase 2, DeForest, Holum Street, and Sun Prairie's O'Keefe Avenue in 2028. And then John Nolan Drive Phase 3, St. Albert the Great Drive, different section of that, and Windsor, the Windsor Road Path are in 2029. It did take about a year working with the applicants and working with WISDOT and numerous meetings, too many to count, to really finalize this. We're very pleased with how everything turned out. And then on this map, you'll also see there is a proposed project in 2026, What happened is that with the John Olin Drive project being advanced from 2027 to 2025, that opened up a lot of funding because that project is now using several other federal funding sources. And now we have extra money, that surplus that we need to figure out what to do with. And so one of the things that we're proposing is to fund this project. And the reason we're proposing to fund this project is because Madison requested funding for this project with the last in the last funding cycle. And so what this project would do is connect Raymond Road with Midtown Road on a new alignment. So it'd be a new South High Point Road connection, a new alignment. And going on to the priority projects list, this really provides a good picture of the amount of funding that each project is receiving. There have been a few edits since the meeting packet went out. Most of them are pretty inconsequential. Everything is highlighted in red. The only thing worth noting that affects federal funding is the Nichols Road project. There was an error in terms of what the amount in the amount that was shown. So the correct amount is listed as $938,000. And if you look at all of the projects in that section of the table, you'll see that they're all funded at 80%, and this one isn't. And so we do anticipate being able to provide additional funding for that program or for that project, but it is now in fiscal year 2029. So we also have then all of the new priority projects shown. Those are all funded at 65%. And then here is the new project that we're proposing, funded at 80%. Now, there are a couple other points I want to make in regards to the program priority projects. The Mineral Point Road project, as we're proposing 80% funding for that because of a large cost increase that's largely attributed to the stormwater box that Madison is building as part of that project. And then the other projects in federal fiscal year 2025, and that would include the Windsor Road project, the Bird Street project, which we've talked about, and the North Thompson Street project. We're able to now fund those projects at 80% as well. So that really summarizes where things stand with the SDBG Urban Program. What we're asking for tonight is a recommendation of approval of the draft priority projects table. We anticipate that there could be some changes between now and October when this would need to be approved. But in the meantime, we'd like to include this draft in the TIP that we would like to release in the middle of August. We did present this also to our technical coordinating committee, and they recommended approval.
Thank you, David. Those are some big and exciting changes. Anybody have any questions or any discussion regarding these proposed changes that will be incorporated into the new TIP?
It seems when I look at it that there's really only upside. Is there any downside that I'm seeing? It seems like
Not at all. Yeah, we're pleased with how things have really transpired, even though it took an enormous amount of time. We've been given more funding to allocate towards projects than we ever anticipated.
So there is no catch, Tom. Alder Miazzi.
I'm just wondering, where can you find this priority list at? Is it on the website somewhere?
It should be included in your meeting packets, except that there are those changes that I noted here. Oh, okay. That would be different from
your copy. We have the map and we have this list.
Okay. Well, thank you. Motion to approve.
Okay, so a motion to that you're approving that these changes be incorporated into the TIP that gets released later this month.
McKinney second.
Alder Field, you're seconding? Okay, thank you. Any further discussion or questions? Okay, hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? That motion passes. And thank you, David. It sounds like you've been the lead on this, and Alex and anybody else at the staff for all your work on this. I can understand how this would be a very complicated process. Yeah. So for the 2 or 3 hours you spent on this, thank you very much. 2 or 3 weeks. MPO or item number 8 is MPO resolution 2024, number 10, amending the TIP for the Madison Metropolitan Area and Dane County.
Okay, so this TIP is pretty straightforward. WSDOT is proposing 3 new projects. 2 of them are design projects. One is the County Trunk Highway Bridge, I-Bridge over the interstate, and then a resurfacing on 18-151, and then also some pavement markings. The pavement marking project is actually one that's construction and not design. And then one of the significant ones is the City of Madison applied for and was awarded a $1 million Reconnecting Communities grant for the design of an overpass of the Beltline, and that will occur in the vicinity of Perry Street. My understanding is that they are also pursuing federal funding for construction, but I haven't received an update yet from them on where things stand with that application. And then lastly, this TIP amendment codifies the changes we talked about for the Bird Street project. And then not only that project, but also for the other SDBG urban project in Sun Prairie, which is the Thompson Road, St. Albert the Great Drive project. And then lastly, the Vinburn Road project in the village of Windsor. And all of these projects will now be funded at 80%. And the reason these are in the TIP amendment and the others are not is because when we prepared this table, the timing was such that all of these projects, the funding needed to be obligated in calendar year 2024. We did not present any of this to the TCC. I take that back. I believe an update was provided, but they didn't take any formal action. It was not an action item for them.
Well, they didn't meet at the end of July, did they, Colleen? I thought they didn't have a meeting.
They didn't.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So they saw it earlier.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Any questions regarding the proposed TIP amendment, I should say. So what you'd like here is we have a resolution in our packet, and I just skimmed past it here just a second. We're on item, here we go. So resolution number 10, is there somebody who would like to move adoption of the resolution? Alder Magnuzzi?
Yes.
Oh, that's you're making that motion?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Is there a second?
Williams will second. Sir.
I heard Williams just before Mayor Esser, so that goes to Williams. Any further discussion? Seeing and hearing none, although I did see a hand up, the hands down. Okay. Charles, did you still have it? Okay, thank you. All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? That motion passes. Item number 9, moving right along here, is approval to release the TIP that we just talked about for the Madison Metropolitan Area Dane County for public review and comment. We have some in this packet too, so that will be good. Go ahead.
Yes. So in your packet are the maps showing the location of major program roadway and bike projects. in both the planning area and outside of the planning area. And these are projects that WISDOT and local agencies sent us for inclusion in the draft tip.
Could you could the map be on the screen, please?
Yes, absolutely. Right. Well, actually, I don't have the map, but
okay.
Didn't plan on that because I, but I can bring it up if you'd like.
I think it's helpful. We usually have it when we have discussed this every year.
Okay. So let's go here.
I mean, does anybody else want to see it? Yeah, Doug does. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'll just take me a moment.
No problem.
So these are all of the ped bike projects. I won't go over them individually. The TAP projects are really the most significant ones that we are involved with. And Ben Lyman is still working on developing the final TAP priority list. There could be changes between now and the next meeting. So you will learn more about TAP projects then.
I think you are cut off unless you stop talking. It sounded like you got cut off, David.
I was just going to the next map.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay. And these display all of the roadway projects from 2025 through 2029. Not super easy to see in this view, but you should have hopefully an 11 by 17 inch copy in your packets. Certainly Highway 51 project is one of the significant ones. We're also showing the major corridor studies on the map. So wasn't planning on spending too much time on these, since the SDBG projects are really the ones that, the board gets involved with.
Okay.
So, the next steps with this is we don't have the complete draft ready yet, and that's typical in how the timing works each year. We have reviewed the submitted projects to ensure consistency with our regional transportation plan. And we did have this as an agenda item before our technical coordinating committee had their meeting last month, and they recommended release of the draft tip. And so we are requesting that as well. Approval to release the draft tip. And we anticipate releasing the complete draft tip for review and comments the week of August 19th. We will post it on our website and notify everybody on our mailing list at that time. The public hearing for the draft tip will be scheduled for the first meeting in September, but the public comment period will continue beyond that all the way until the October meeting, where we would anticipate final action on the tip.
Okay. Thank you. Good overview. Any questions about the maps or any of the projects? I will say that I've been on a mission this summer to bike as many of the paths in the urban area as possible. I've been on most of Madison's paths already, even on the east side. And I'm really happy with some of these connections that are being made. Some really key linkages are being, we'll have some really key linkages over the next few years that will fill some gaps. And so I'm really happy on it as a bicyclist to see that. And Sun Prairie, you've done some nice work, and looks like Cottage Grove is doing a lot too. So it's awesome. So is there a motion? I think this was to authorize the release of the tip. Is that what? Yeah, that's the motion. Would somebody like to make that motion?
This is Esser. I'll make that motion.
Okay. Motion by Esser.
This is Clement. I second.
Okay. We have a second by Clement. Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? That motion passes. Item 10 is the approval to release the public participation plan amendment. Alex, yeah. Do you want to go ahead?
That will be gonna take it.
I figured it was Colleen, so I just hadn't seen your picture come up yet.
Yeah. So we've got one more TIP-related issue to get through on this agenda. And so with our public participation plan, establishes the formal policies and strategies for ensuring that the public is notified and provided the opportunities to participate in developing our plans and programs, including the RTP, our long-range plan, and the TIP. It states kind of our procedures for amending those documents. Our current public participation plan was updated and adopted in January 2021 and must be updated every 5 years. So recently we've been seeing a lot more requests coming in for major TIP amendments due in part to the large amounts of discretionary funding that's been included in the most recent infrastructure bill. And so our current process is to first seek board approval for release of a 30-day public comment period, which in one case last year resulted in delaying a project by 2 months or maybe a little bit more. Then once the policy board adopts it, then it has to go to WSDOT and they have to get it into their STIP, which is the statewide transportation improvement program. And that can take at least a month as well. So we're really trying to look at after having these issues, we talked to some of the other MPOs around the state to see if they were experiencing this as well and how they handled it. All the other MPOs have a 15-day public comment period for major TIP amendments. The state also has a 15-day public comment period for their major amendments. And none of them first go to their policy boards to seek approval for that notification. So in line with that, what we're proposing here is to go down to a 15-day public comment period that staff would release. And then it would still go to a public hearing that the policy board would still get to see it there. Again, it would be in keeping with how all the rest of the MPOs and state do that. Really, the biggest potential change and impact is that the board would not see it before it goes out. Again, that's not a requirement. It's just been how we've always done that in the past. When we brought this to the technical committee last week, the only feedback that we got was just to try and feel out how often in the past when we've had a major TIP amendment that we've gotten a comment like from local agencies, just some questioning about whether 15 days would be enough time if a local agency needed to take comments through a committee before submitting it. And so we changed the wording in it a little bit so that it would be a minimum 15-day public comment period, kind of at staff discretion if there would be an amendment that would seem to be potentially to have more issues associated with it and that we would need to go to a longer public comment period, we could still do that. But for some of these TIP amendments that have been pretty standard, they've already been awarded funding. It just needs to be reflected in the TIP. It would expedite that process so that we're not seeing project delays. And then as long as we were updating the TIP amendment procedure in the public participation plan, we paged through the rest of it. And the other changes we're proposing is just reflecting our meeting schedule and section on virtual meetings to reflect that we can still continue to meet virtually, even without a public health order.
Thanks for that overview. I had a quick question, and that's on page 35 of the meeting packet or labeled 19. Of the public participation plan, it looks like there's a page missing. It just ends with the information gathered from. So I assume there was supposed to be another page.
Let's see here, sorry. Uh, I think that just cut off there because there weren't any changes beyond that. We just included the pages that then were reflected in the following text changes.
Okay, got it. All right, thank you. Alder Miyazi?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you could just take a minute and just explain the community engagement around the TIP participation with the public.
Yeah, so that's always been one that has been a little bit of a challenge for as far as the TIP goes for public involvement, since really everything that the projects that are reflected in the TIP, with the exception of the STBG projects that the MPO selects, are projects that are being submitted by the local agencies or the state. So each one of the actions of approving the TIP and the last item for release is then we send out this notification to all local agencies, public officials. I think there's media lists that are included in that stating that we are, you know, we have this draft TIP. It can be reviewed. This is the listing of projects that are coming up in the next 5 years. And really, it's encouraging, you know, the public, if there's not a project that they see that they would like their local community to submit, then they should go and raise that issue with their local community, or if they have any comments, questions on things that are included, either the MPO can help answer that or direct them to the sponsoring agency.
And in the near future, if we can, you know, given that this was something from what, 2021, you said, if there's something that we can do as alders as far as, you know, getting information out that you think is pertinent for residents to know, if there's any way for you to get that to us, and we're willing to put that on our blog or whatever, but just make sure we keep the us and informed in order to do that outreach, help you guys do that outreach.
Perfect. Yes, that's great feedback. Thank you. One of the things that we do now, I have to sit and think about if it's during the draft or if it's after it's adopted, but we do put together a really great, I think, interactive TIP map. So, you know, David showed kind of the PDFs. It's small, it's hard to see, but with the interactive map, people can, you know, zoom in, click on the projects, get more information about it. And I know we've sent that out in the past, and local agencies have shared that on their Facebook posts, things like that. And those have always been posts that have gotten, you know, a lot of feedback. So we're happy to continue doing that.
Thank you. Alder Harrington, McKinney, sorry.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to expand that. My colleague talked about alders putting forward that information on the blog. But what I would also like to consider is that, you know, how do we expand the connection with MPO, understanding its roles? And so as we are connecting with the public to really look at. And I think that one of the things that we should consider doing a better job is that how do we inform the public of all these connections? We talked about MPO, but how is this connected regionally? And so I'd like to expand that so that we can start informing the public of that connection as well. And so I thank Alder Miyazi for thinking about that, but I am also looking at how do we make a regional presentation of how we sit and how some of these, how our work is impacted on a broader scale sitting as the MPO. I'm complete.
Okay. Thank you.
Again, thanks, Barbara. I think that's great feedback too. One of the things about having a new communications and outreach specialist on staff is I think that, you know, that's something that she's really going to be able to help tackle and spread. You know, even within the TIP, it gets to be a very long, lengthy document. In some of the appendices, we have the performance measures report, for example, that really goes through and it starts you know, painting the regional picture of, you know, what kind of transportation investment we have going on, how much money is being spent on roadways, how much money is being spent on transit, you know, number of new bike lanes, things like that. So I think that's something that in the future, you know, we definitely want to be able to publish that more.
Thank you. So the action item here is to authorize release of the proposed changes for public comment.
Yes. And I will note that the one quirk with the public participation plan is through federal regulation, everything else is generally either a 15 or a 30-day public comment period. Federal regulation states that the public participation plan has to be a 45-day public comment period. So it wouldn't be on the agenda for adoption until the October meeting.
Okay, thank you.
That's all for approval.
Thank you. Motion by Williams.
McKinney second.
Seconded by McKinney. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? That motion passes. Thank you. Thanks, Colleen. Item 11 is MPO resolution number 11, amendment to the 2024 Unified Planning Work Program.
Yeah, so this is one that should look a little bit familiar to you all now because it relates to the need for specificity within our UPWP for certain funding sources. And then last time you saw this, it related to something, a different funding source that related to Madison Metro. And in this case, it relates to a Reconnecting Communities grant that the city of Madison received. So in order for, so there's just a requirement within that, that the that program is specifically mentioned in our UPWP. So that is what this change is achieving. So as you can see, there's just a few changes on the change sheet. There's just two places within our UPWP, our work program, where we are stating it specifically in the way that meets this requirement. So staff's recommending approval of these changes.
Thank you. Any questions for Alex? Pretty straightforward. Okay, so the motion would be to approve the proposed changes.
This is Wood. I'll move approval.
Okay, motion by Wood, seconded by Lynch. I saw that hand, Tom. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes. And I guess that was technically a resolution. Right? Yeah.
Correct.
Resolution 11. Okay, so item number 12 is the review and approve of Greater Madison MPO resolution number 12, authorizing Greater Madison MPO to submit a grant application to the Department, U.S. Department of Transportation for up to $1.25 million for the Regional Safe Streets Community Safety Enhancement Partnership Project.
Yes. So as you all are familiar, over the past several months, we've gone through the process to adopt our regional safety action plan and have had discussions that as part of that process, we had consultant funding to help lead a regional application for the Safe Streets and Roads for All program. So we had five local agencies who were expressed interest in participating in this round. So we have the City of Verona is requesting funding to develop a district-wide safe routes to school plan. The Village of Cottage Grove is requesting funding to develop an active transportation plan. And then the cities of Fitchburg, Village of Shorewood Hills, and Dane County are seeking funding to develop comprehensive safety action plans. The one thing to note that I think is great with Dane County is that will extend beyond the MPO boundary, so that'll cover the entire county. And so really this agenda, or I'm sorry, this resolution is allowing us to then go forward and submit the grant application. Again, because of the way we're structured within the city of Madison, we also had to have a similar resolution go through the Madison Common Council, since the city would be handling the reimbursement if we're successful with this grant. And again, the other important thing to note is that by participating in the grant, all the local agencies who were mentioned prior, they will be responsible for providing the 20% local match that is required for this grant application. So we're really excited. We think it's some great projects that were included. And certainly as we were moving forward and other communities, I think, started hearing about the communities that are on board, I think in the future that there's going to be more interest in continuing with this regional partnership.
Thank you, Colleen, for that overview. Clement, I'll have him, and then recognized, Alder Miadze is next, and then I think, Paul, you were going to say something after that. Clement, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say that this is a very fantastic opportunity for community to access other stream of funding, given the fact that the traditional funding line is becoming a little bit competitive and a little bit tight. So as the MPO for the Southwest region, I just wanted to find out whether did anybody reach out to all the other municipalities to give them an idea of what this comprehensive plan is about? Given the fact that if all these local municipalities are applying, it gives them an opportunity to access that funding as well. I was just wondering whether the MPO did reach out to some of those communities.
Yeah, so in terms of getting the word out about this particular grant, during the development of the Regional Safety Action Plan, we did focus groups with each community within our planning area. And, you know, we mentioned that this grant opportunity was going to be coming up, and, you know, we got kind of initial interest from communities about participating. And then when it was clear that we would be able to go for funding this round, due to the timing, we weren't quite sure if we could make it this year or not. Then we went back and reached out to all of those communities that did express interest and worked with them. But we also sent out a notice through our technical committee and through our policy board, things like that, about the opportunity to apply. I will say, since this was really our first shot at going for a regional application and for trying to coordinate several different applications with different subrecipients, we didn't do as strong of push to really try and get everybody on, just because we wanted to make sure that we could handle the subrecipient agreements, the process that it was going to take to be able to, you know, really administer the grant moving forward. So we, you know, really wanted to focus on those local agencies that expressed strong interest in participating. And, you know, again, kind of based on this process and the framework and groundwork that I think we've put together working with the Madison Grants team and finance department to make sure that we can, you know, kind of successfully set up these subrecipient agreements in the future. I think in future rounds for Safe Streets and Roads for All, but other, you know, potential discretionary grants that will help us to be able to go out and work with local agencies and be able to do more grant application efforts like this.
Thank you.
Alder Miadze?
I just wanted to say this is a great opportunity. I know that City of Madison was noted to be one of the safe streets, got awarded that on a national level, it was recognized. So to have other places get this grant and try to make sure that there's their communities also are, you know, safe as well. I think it's always a good thing. So I definitely wanted to see, you know, approve. See, is this approving the resolution or the request or what? I'm sorry. Went on a tangent there for me.
Yeah.
Approving the resolution.
Right.
Yep. So yeah, I'll definitely like to approve the resolution. Motion to. Yeah.
Okay, that's a motion. Is there a second? We have others who still want to comment as well, but is there a second to the motion?
Mark, I'll second.
Yes, sir. Okay, seconded by Esser. And Mayor Esser, did you want to comment? I heard you.
I wanted to make the motion, so that's fine. I'm glad Barbara that
Charles. Okay. And Alder Harrington McKinney.
Thank you. I just wanted to get in a comment and to thank Tom Lynch for, I had an outreach question about the matching and who would be responsible for that, of course. And he was very intentional in getting back to me and answering my question that the match that would be associated with this particular grant will be assumed by the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 entities, Verona, Cottage Grove, Fitchburg, Sherwood Hills, and Dane County would be responsible for that match. And I see Tom's hand is up, and if you'd like to kind of speak to that, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Actually, I want to deflect the compliment to Colleen Hosley, who provided the information very promptly. So Colleen, thanks for answering Alder McKinney's question so quickly. Do you want to actually add anything to that?
I don't know that there's much more to add. Just again, you know, I think that it's always a little confusing when any of our MPO type business has to go through Madison Common Council to get approval from that side of things as well. So I think that might have been where some of that confusion came from. Again, since they're our fiscal and administrative agent, we're required to put a similar resolution through the Common Council. But yeah, so we have the resolutions of support from all the local agencies that are participating, you know, committing to that 20% local match if we're awarded funding.
Thank you. Any other discussion regarding the motion to approve the resolution number 12? Seeing and hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Motion passes. Item 13 is approval of resolution number 13 pertaining to I-39-90-94 draft EIS comments regarding north-south bus rapid transit.
Okay, so I can take this one for you, and I'm sure Tom can provide more detail if any of you have questions. But basically, if you refer to your cover sheet, it's here as well. But WISDOT's released a draft environmental impact statement for the I-39-90-94 project with comments that are due on August 12th, so coming up here soon. So within that document, WISDOT lists the BRT as a possible transportation demand management, transportation systems management, and operations measure to reduce the impact of greenhouse gas emissions produced as a result of the project. So WISDOT also states it will continue to coordinate with Madison Metro to support transit service implementation. The City of Madison WISDOT are still in negotiations on the amount of bus lanes north-south bus BRT will be allowed to have on Park Street and Kuypers Avenue connecting highways, because they are connecting highways, as well as federal participation in the project. So this resolution specifically requests that mitigation for greenhouse gas emissions be specifically included in the commitment to mitigation as part of the record of decision. It further requests that as part of this mitigation, WISDOT would approve key elements of the north-south BRT on Fish Hatchery Road, Park Street, Packers Avenue. Finally, request that WISDOT participate in reconstruction costs commensurate with the cost of reconstructing Park Street. So staff definitely recommends approval of this. And if you have any questions, I'll do my best. And certainly Tom can provide help as well.
Yeah.
Tom, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, I kind of prompted this resolution. You know, the WISA has kind of been very focused in its development of this project. It's the I-94 project is enormous. It's $2.5 billion, just really large. And, you know, at parts of it, in fact, the part of I-94 between, I guess, 94 and the 151 interchange, there's 17 lanes, you know, so that's what ends up happening. And so it's really a motor vehicle focus improvement, but then I'm just speaking for the city of Madison, okay? That's probably more motor vehicle capacity than we are comfortable with. However, we also acknowledge that, you know, the interstate system, it's a responsibility of WISDA, right? And so while it's not our, it probably doesn't align fully with our values, I think we acknowledge that they're responsible for it. And I will say that they have been accommodating to us and considering some interchanges that we have wanted, and I think some prairies want. So I'll give that. However, that environmental impact statement does mention bus rapid transit as perhaps a mitigation measure to offset some of the carbon emissions associated with that project, because it does induce some travel. I'm going to say that we have not fully gotten permission to do the north-south bus rapid transit. And there's been a little bit of a challenge trying to get staff approval for the north-south, with Wisconsin DOT staff approval for the north-south BRT. And so I think what we're trying to do is maybe acknowledge that, you know, the interstate is WISDOT's responsibility. And while it doesn't necessarily agree with our values, we understand this is what they think they need for their system. And I think we'd like the same consideration kind of with the north-south BRT. If you're going to kind of reference it as helping to offset some of the air impacts and other types of impacts with it, we'd like permission to do the north-south bus rapid transit on some of these connecting highways. And so this kind of, what it does is it kind of cements it. It just, you know, acknowledges they're going to do what they're going to do, but then also asks them to commit to helping to implement a transit corridor that has been in the MPO plan since 2012. So that's kind of the background, I think.
Thanks, Tom. That was helpful.
Lance will move approval.
Hey, motion by Williams, seconded by Fields, is what I heard. And this is for resolution number 13. Alder Miazzi.
Tom, can you clarify I'm confused about what exactly we're approving. I'm sorry. As an Alder on the north side.
Yeah, so this, you know, the north-south bus rapid transit is very important to your district, right? And actually the ridership of the north-south BRT is highly equity focused. There's 51% low-income families, 42% people of color, 10% those disabled, and 10% people without access to a motor vehicle. So it's a very important corridor. And but for it to be bus rapid transit, we need to have bus lanes, right? And so otherwise it's just bus transit. It's not bus rapid transit. And our specific grant requires that we have a certain percentage of the corridor as bus lanes, about 50%. We have not gotten, I think there's been a recent email as of yesterday afternoon, but prior to yesterday afternoon, we have not gotten approval to have bus lanes on Packers Avenue. We have not gotten approval to have a bus lane at the Fish Hatchery Interchange and a few other instances. And so this just kind of, as the EIS for I-94 ties, you know, mentions the BRT, as a possible mitigation measure. The city of Madison, which is the project sponsor for the BRT, saying, well, if you're going to use us as a possible mitigation measure, we'd like you to approve it. You know, approve the north-south BRT. And I'm going to say that, you know, we've had good and productive interactions with staff. And recently we've had some good emails between staff. But what this does is when it becomes part of a formal document in the commitments, it doesn't matter who the staff are, right? This is a commitment associated with this project. And so once WSDOT gets their record of decision for the I-94 project, they can build it. And it will take 15 to 20 years for them to build it. You know, they have the go-ahead. But then also in that, hopefully in the commitments to mitigation, we'll get our approval to say, yes, we can do our north-southwest rapid transit. So this resolution kind of links the two a little bit because of their environmental impact statement kind of links the two a little bit. And so if they're going to link the two, I'm saying, yes, you know, let's link the two. So I'm, you know, Steve is right here, you know, Steve, and we're interacting with his staff. So I don't want to be disparaging. I think Wisconsin DOT is trying to do what they can. Their staff have been helpful. They have a certain lens. This just kind of formalizes maybe some emails that we've had and just makes it a part of the record.
All right. Thank you for the explanation.
Alder Field?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So for those who don't remember, I represent a district on the far east side of Madison, and the interstate corridor runs right through it. So I've been engaged throughout this process, and I wanted to offer a comment that Tom and his team have done a pretty fantastic job of keeping in the loop and up to speed those alders with districts along the corridor and walking through the rationale behind some of the city's comments and getting our input to shape those comments. So I wholeheartedly endorse this approach of acknowledging that if they're taking credit for the project, the approvals would be helpful to get it moving along the way and start offsetting those carbon emissions. So wanted to offer that. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Alder Mianzi.
Just want to echo the same thing. And I appreciate Tom Lynch and all his work as far as trying to get this convoluted issue resolved. And, you know, so it's understandable. I'm just glad that you just keep us abreast about what's going on. So I appreciate it.
Okay. I think we had a motion on this one, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, we did. Motion and a second. Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Could I be reminded who the second was? I have Williams as the motion. Think, okay. Field.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, that's right. Well, actually, wasn't it Lynch? Or was that the previous one?
That was previous.
Okay. I think Alder Field can have it.
All right. There you
Let's
go.
Let's get him in the minutes.
Okay, so all in favor was yes, and anyone opposed? I think I didn't hear anybody, so that motion passes. Item number 14 already, discussion of 14. Future MPO work program planning activities.
Yes, so this is my item, and I'm going to keep it brief because we're just sort of right at the beginning stages of this process, which is coming here soon. Very soon we will be receiving our guidance on putting together I refer to it with an acronym. I'm sorry, it's UPWP. It's our Unified Planning Work Program. So it's important because we're laying out what we are going to be focused on doing in the upcoming year. And as you can see from the very unfortunately small printed document that I attached just to sort of refresh people's memory, there's a lot of things that we always do, and we do. There's sort of ongoing tasks that the MPO needs to do. But in addition to that, we sort of highlight a given number of plans or projects that we intend to do in the upcoming year. Those that I've identified as a continuation of the active transportation plan, which will be starting more in earnest later this year because we want to do it in a coordinated fashion with the city of Madison, who is also working on their own plan. taking on a transportation systems management and operations, also known as a TISMO plan, which would be something that would be, it's a technical effort that would be a consultant-driven project. Those would be right now on the books plan for next year, but also part of the process is reaching out to our communities in our planning area to see if they have any projects of interest. And I'm doing that. Traditionally, it's done with sort of an email out to those communities and using our usual channels in that fashion. I'm also reaching out and making some phone calls and in some cases meeting with communities to talk about if they have any ideas as well. And so the example, a simple example I can offer is the village of Wanakee reached out and stated that they are going to be working on their comprehensive plan, and they were curious if we could provide assistance on the transportation element of that comprehensive plan as they work on it. So that's an example of something that, you know, originates from the local level that we want to be able to schedule in it in if we have that ability. So it's an opportunity for you to start thinking of these things either from your own community or regionally as part of the board. And to be aware, you know, as many of you serve a role as being that conduit back to your local community to identify some of those things as well. So what else can I tell you about it? I think that's all we really need at this point, just to sort of let you know, get it in your mind, and you're going to be seeing more about this effort going forward as we work on this later this fall. So that's really all I had on that.
Thank you, Alex. Any questions for Alex? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 15, announcements and staff reports. And I assume this first one has to do with the invoices, has to do with invoicing communities for their prorated share of supporting.
Yes. Appeal. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what that is. Those went out actually several weeks ago now. And I changed just a little bit in the process as far as how those go out, how they look, what sort of information is included with those, because as they tend to come out once a year and they are an invoice coming from the city of Madison, again, that can be a little confusing. So I just wanted to let you know those are out. I'm receiving a few questions, a few calls from communities, which is a good thing. But again, something really to note in this, in the past, when we've faced an additional federal funding opportunity, our ability to accept all those federal funds depends on the ability to have a local match for those funds. And in the past, when needed, the city of Madison has always stepped in to fill that gap and really provided more than their, you know, fair share, you know, how we calculate that share as needed, just so that the region doesn't miss out on that opportunity for that funding. Needless to say, given the budget situation, I respect it's not only for the city of Madison, but many, many municipalities are facing because of levy limits, is not going to be doing that. So that effort of doing a better and more consistent job with, you know, reaching out to communities, encouraging them to provide this share is going to be important. And I don't have a lot to report back yet at this point about how that's going, but so far it seems to be going okay. And I am also going out to various communities as they ask, visiting in some cases, sometimes even plan commissions are interested or boards or whatever, whoever will have me if they would like a refresher on, you know, what is the MPO anyway? And what have you done for us lately is kind of a message, which I'm happy to discuss if that's requested.
How many communities are contributing now? A few years ago, it was only a handful basically. And I think we're well, we're at
250. Last year we received more than we had years prior. And I don't have the numbers yet because we don't have a whole lot actually being paid of yet. But that's not unusual at this point in the year. I could have that number for you in the future.
Well, we'll find out next meeting, but I know communities, I mean, Middleton budgeted for that, for example. And so, right. Okay. I'll Mayor Esser.
So it seems, Mark and Alex, that in the past we've seen the calculation by mm-hmm. all the communities in Dane County. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see that again.
Okay.
And I would like to see what the communities, all the communities in the county contributed last year. It's too early for this year yet.
Right.
You won't see it from ours. Our number was lower than I expected it to be, Alex. That's what's raising the question in my mind. We've been increasing our budget for it every year, and something I'd like to see those numbers.
Okay. Yeah, it's a combination of the just to fill everyone in, it's not just population, it's sort of the share of the population. It involves mapping, it involves transportation. Anyway, you'll see. But yes, I can show you that table and get a feel for what. And I have to say, now I haven't been here all that long, but I have to say it was a little interesting for me to sort of look at the past, you know, tracking. Some our communities are very, very consistent. Some not so much. Some, you know, sometimes they were communities that I wouldn't expect would not or would be contributing doing so. But last year we had a more steady, sort of maybe not huge numbers, but a growing list of number of communities that did contribute. So that's the good news. But I can provide mm-hmm. that table and at least what we've seen in the past years.
Okay. Mayor Esser, thank you, Alex.
Mayor Esser, are you wishing for the minutes to indicate that you thought yours would be higher and that it should be higher?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. You can always make a extra contribution. Well,
so maybe I set it up for that, but as you look at it, Alex, I'd like you to keep that in mind.
Yeah, definitely.
Because we've increased it every year over a number of years, and I would have expected that we're already budgeting more than our bill was, our invoice was. So I'm puzzled about that, Alex.
I can tell you that many communities don't do what you did. They don't budget for it each year, or if they do, they don't budget for an increase.
And Paul, your city has been a steadfast supporter for a number of years. I don't remember mm-hmm. how many years, but you were early out of the gate and have been consistent from everything that I understand. So thank you for that.
Clement? Well, I don't like to attend this, be on this board, and then our community's not contributing. Well, so that has really motivated us to do it. But we've been adding to it slowly, so it's not a big issue internally.
Right.
But I want to make sure that we're contributing, that we're keeping up with that pattern. I'm afraid if we get an invoice that's less than we're budgeting, then we're going to struggle with it. Our finance people aren't going to want to pay out what's budgeted when the invoice isn't for that amount. So I'd like to know more about it. Thank you, Alex.
Definitely.
Clement?
Yeah, Alex, is it possible to send me the invoice that was sent to the county?
Sure. I can note that as well.
Then that way I could follow up to find out the status.
Hey, thank you. Moving on to the next item is staff changes.
Yes. So this is good news. I know it is, really. Maybe not. But it is. This is the good news,
mixed.
Bad news.
It's
so, although her camera is off, I just wanted to let you know the news that Colleen is going to be leaving us here at the MPO. And she is doing so for a great opportunity at WISDOT. So, that's the news. That is our staff change. Needless to say, that's sad for us. And but really great news for WISDOT. So lucky them. And so what she is going to be doing is she is going to become the state's new planning program and policy chief for the Bureau of Planning and Economic Development. So that's a big job. It's an important job.
Yeah.
And so the bad news is she might be leaving us, but the good news is she's still going to be playing an important role in transportation for our region and actually for the entire state. So that is a good thing for transportation. And I just want to thank her so very much for all the work. I'm sure that's not lost on any of you at all. And let's keep in mind also, she served as interim director for, what was it, Colleen, 2 months, maybe even three,
longer. Yeah.
longer, and really in a sense almost more, because she's been like the second director, in that I really relied on her assistance sort of being my right hand woman in doing this job. And it's a big one, and she did that job while she was so essentially doing two jobs. So I think I've done that for a short period in my own career, and I can say it's not necessarily an easy task. So I'd like to say many congrats. Thank you and congratulations for Colleen.
I know there is some applause. There's some muted applause here. I'll be a little louder, but we have a couple of people with their hands up. Alder Barbara Harrington McKinney, sorry.
Well, thank you so very much, Colleen. That was what I was going to do, is to ask you to turn on your camera so that you can visually see us applauding the work that you're doing and will continue to do. And as just as I raised my hand, you did flip your camera on. So that was my request, Sir Chair.
Thanks for that. It is good to see you one last time on in our meeting here, Colleen. Clement?
Yeah, just wanted to say, there's a point of order necessary here. There should have been a resolution to approve her departure. So I don't think that is her departure.
So she can't leave without board approval. I wish it was that easy, but
yeah. In any case, I purposely put up my hand because I've been in this job for 3 months, and one of the agencies that I've participated more and get to know them more is the MPO. And thanks to Colleen, she's always there for us, always there to answer questions. Sometimes I ask stupid questions and she answers them, making me look so intelligent. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to say, but I really, really enjoyed my time with her, and to say that for the short time I've known her, just tells me how much I've missed. For the longest time, I never knew her. And I just want to wish her the best and to let her know that I'm in town, and I'm just a phone call away. Whatever she needs, it's just a phone call away, because we'll forever remain a family. Congratulations, and I wish her the best.
Well, thank you. And it's been great working with everybody. And one of the things that I'm excited for in the new position is that it still it involves working with all of the MPOs statewide. So I'll still be able to get to work with MPO staff closely and follow along with what's going on, and hopefully help provide some more resources in the future.
Is there a send-off party?
Yes, I was just going to say the most important part of this of today's announcement is, and I'm going to forward an invite to the board. We are going to celebrate Colleen next Wednesday at a happy hour, 4:00. Right now, in hopes of good weather, the idea, if you're all familiar with where the Essen House is in the city of Madison, and right next to it is the Comeback Inn. And it has a lovely outdoor seating area. I think we can all, the masses of people that are going to want to come and celebrate are going to be able to be there. And if that location changes for any reason, I'll let you know. But I will following this meeting, I will be sending out an invite. We are going to be celebrating Colleen on Wednesday the 14th.
And I just wanted to add, as the chairperson here, I we'll also really miss Colleen. You did such a great job as interim director. It was a seamless transition from everything that I could tell. I mean, you did really excelled. And as Alex noted, you did a couple jobs during that time, and you had some personal adversity, as I recall. So, and I'm glad you're healed from that. So thank you so much. And all of us wish you nothing but the best and great success in your new job at the DOT. I worked there, as did Alex, back in the 90s. And so although you'll be in a different building from what we were accustomed to, you'll nevertheless thrive over there. And we wish you nothing but the best. So thank you. And with that, I think we are at the end of our agenda. So would somebody like to motion to adjourn?
Williams will move to adjourn.
All right.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
See you. Good night. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, Colleen.
Yes, thank you, Colleen.